Hey gang, welcome to another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network, RBN, republicbroadcasting.org. It's the substitute host of Free Speech, Andy Hitchcock, filling in today for Dr. Patrick Slattery. So go to republicbroadcasting.org, click on the donate button and send badly needed fundage. Today, I'm delighted to welcome to the show someone I have been a fan of for a very long time, and that is the remarkable singer-songwriter Engelbert Poindexter. So, Engelbert, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Daddy-O. It's a blast to be here with you.
Excellent. Well, it's delightful to have you on. I've been a fan of your work for a very long time. And on that note, let's start off with Engelbert, you sound like a stereotypical beatnik, but that was a subculture from the 1950s, yet you don't look any older than me. How can you explain that to the audience today?
I would explain it by, man, it's like orange juice, right? You drink it, you drink your orange juice, and it keeps you fresh, like Minute Maid orange juice. You remember Anita Bryant? She sang some songs and she drank orange juice, and she was one fresh chick, man. I tell you, she was a fresh chick, and you drink your orange juice and you don't get old. That's what happens, man.
Wow. So the key is
Daddy-O?
Yeah. The key is orange juice there, folks. So that is interesting. And are there any other recommendations you can, you know, offer the audience, Engelbert, with regard to staying young? Any other exercises, foods you eat, lifestyles, how much sleep you get, anything else that you can throw in?
Well, you don't smoke cigarettes after 6 p.m. And you drink your coffee, but you don't drink your coffee before 2 p.m. And you grow a goatee, that helps. Goatee, and wear your sunglasses. Always wear your sunglasses, man. You got to... You can't be seen without your shades. Some people can't see without their glasses. I can't be seen without my shades. Dig what I'm saying?
Yeah, absolutely. Very, very interesting. And Engelbert, I found out recently that you are the leader of the White House House Band. So how did you land your gig as the leader of the White House House Band?
Well, actually, it's an interesting story, Andy. You see, my daddy was the leader of the White House House Band. So I inherited, I was in the band first. I inherited it from him. So I was playing the maracas in the White House House Band when I was just a little boy. Now, my daddy, he got that gig from Warren G. Harding. I don't know, not many people remember Warren G. Harding, but he was of the United States 100 years ago. It was Warren G. Harding. And my daddy got the gig because he taught Warren G. Harding how to bloviate. You look it up. You can look it up in the dictionary. You look it up on your Wikipedia. Bloviate. And how did Warren G. Harding learn how to bloviate? Well, he learned from my daddy. You see, my daddy, he was a horn player, right? And that's where bloviate comes from. What you're doing when you're bloviating, you're just improvising, and you're just going in circles. You're not taking the melody anywhere. You're just going wherever you want to, and that's nowhere. That's what we do with jazz. It just goes nowhere. And he taught Warren G. Harding how to bloviate. So what is the bloviating when you're a politician? It is talking, and you're saying lots of words, but they don't mean anything. They don't go anywhere. And that's what my daddy did. And he taught Warren G. Harding how to bloviate. And the next thing you know, he is the Warren G. Harding decides he needs a house band at the White House, and he brings in my daddy to lead that band. My daddy was a horn player, and he had banjos, and he had a piano. And they had a nice jazz band. It was 1920s, right? So they had a nice jazz band, and then they brought me into it. I played the maracas, so that's how I got into it. Does that make sense to you? Do you dig what I'm saying?
I certainly do, yes. And it's interesting because, of course, since then we've had some presidents that a president has come in, like George H.W. Bush, and then his son, George W. Bush, has followed only a few years later. So there's been something of a, you know, sporadic tradition of sorts, if you like, in the White House of sons taking over from their fathers. But one other thing I think is interesting, because you pointed out looking up bloviation, and there is a Wikipedia page on bloviation. I'm going to read from it. Bloviation is a style of empty, pompous political speech that originated in Ohio and was used by US President Warren G. Harding, who described it as the art of speaking for as long as the occasion warrants and saying nothing. His opponent, William Gibson McAdoo, compared it to an army of pompous phrases moving over the landscape in search of an idea. Bloviation in Ohio was originally idle chatter. As a form of political speech, it appears in the debates and proceedings of the Convention for the Revision of the State of Ohio in the mid-19th century. One etymology suggests that the word is a compound of blow in its sense of to boast. Also, in another typical Americanism, blowhard, with a mock Latin ending to give it the self-important stature implicit in its meaning. H.L. Mencken lampooned Harding's bloviate style as Gamaliel, sorry, I can't pronounce that at all, from his middle name of Gamaliel. He complained that the style was suited to Ohio yokels. Addressing such simians, the learned doctor acquired a gift for the sort of discourse that is to their taste. It is a kind of baby talk, a puerile and wind-blown gibberish. In sound, it is like a rehearsal by a country band, with only the bass drummer keeping time. In content, it is a vacuum. In this, he was responding to the New York Times, which had defended Harding's style as president. Mr. Harding's official style is excellent. Its merits are obvious. In the first place, it is a style that looks presidential. It contains the long words and big sentences which are expected. Furthermore, the president's style is one that radiates hopefulness and aspiration. In the president's misty language, the great majority see a reflection of their own indeterminate thoughts. A short little Wikipedia page there, so I thought I'd read it all out for the audience. But let's go back to Engelbert now. Obviously, your father, as you say, taught Warren G. Harding how to bloviate. This was about 100 years ago in the early 1920s. So when was the year that you took over your father's gig, Engelbert?
Well, Andy, it's hard to recollect, but it was around 1950. So I've been doing it for a long time. I've been doing this for a long time. I had this gig, and some people say I look young for my age. Some people say I look alive for my age. But yeah, 1950, and we had, at that time, it was Harry Truman. Now, Harry Truman, a lot of people don't know this, but Harry Truman, he could play jazz. He played the piano. He had a piano put into the White House, and he would jam with us. He would jam on the piano. But, you know, bloviate, it does come from jazz. You blow your horn, man. You blow your horn. And if you've ever been to a jazz club, you get what happens is you get a, just take any jazz song you want to take, like Don't Get Around Much Anymore or The Sheik of Araby, and you get one time with the lyrics, and then each instrument goes, and it just bloviates. You just go around, and you might do a little bit of the melody, but then you just add in notes, and they don't have to be the right notes. That's what jazz is. It's the wrong notes. It's playing a song with the wrong notes. And what bloviating is you're talking with the wrong words, and they all do this. They all talk with the wrong words. So Harry Truman, the buck stops here. What does that even mean? What buck? What are you talking about? Are you talking about a dollar bill? Are you talking about a male deer? What are you talking about? But it stops here. What does that even mean? But everybody remembers that he said that. So, yeah, I started with Harry S. Truman, and he would play the piano, and he was okay. He was okay with the piano. Then we got Dwight D. Eisenhower after that, and Eisenhower, he liked military music, which wasn't too much fun for us, but he liked the military music because he was a general. But yeah, we've had a lot of presidents. Some are more fun to play for, some are less fun to play for. But yeah, that's when I took over. It was right around 1950, plus or minus. It was during the Harry S. Truman administration. Back to you, Andy.
Thank you, Engelbert. And it's interesting because I'm reminded of you being the leader of the White House band, and what you just told us of the start of that, and of course your dad's involvement as well. There was a book, My First Days in the White House, quite a famous book by Huey Long, which he set out what he would do if he would get to be president. And Michael Collins Piper, far more recently, did his version of My First Days in the White House. I've read Michael Collins Piper's book, but never Huey Long's book. But do you have any thoughts on Huey Long? He's, quite a legendary figure.
Huey Long would have been ideal. He would have been ideal for me as a band leader because I love that Dixieland jazz. I love the Dixieland jazz, and he being from New Orleans, from Louisiana, we would have been playing lots of Dixieland, so that would have been ideal. I do know that David Duke is a great admirer of Huey Long, and when David Duke was in the Louisiana House of Representatives, I think he had the same desk that Huey Long had, and that desk was only a few feet from where Huey Long was assassinated. You know, he was walking through the state capitol, and he just got ambushed and got his about 30 bullets riddled into his body. Huey Long, America would have become a very, very different country with Huey Long. Probably would not have gone into World War II. I would think that Huey Long would have been able to deal more cooperatively with the various populist and nationalist trends that were going on in Europe, whereas Franklin Roosevelt, who, by the way, Franklin Roosevelt in the White House, I remember as a, what was that? Well, someone's bloviating at me. I don't know what this is. Someone is bloviating at me. In the White House, you know, he was going around in his wheelchair. He could go around in that wheelchair real fast. People think he was weak and in bad health, but he did a lot of swimming, and he could go around in that. And you know what he would do in his wheelchair? He'd chase around chicks. He would chase the chicks around in that wheelchair because Eleanor was a lesbian. I don't know what that marriage was all about. You know, Eleanor was Teddy Roosevelt's niece, and I think it was kind of a power thing going on. But, yeah, there's a lot of stuff going on. It would have been very, very different with Huey Long. I don't know. I never read Huey Long's book. Was there anything? What's the main thing I'm missing by not reading Huey Long's book?
I wish I could tell you. I can only tell you from the Michael Collins Piper one, where he essentially, it was like a political manifesto, the way that Michael Collins Piper wrote the book. He was president, and this was what he was going to do. Obviously, his main priorities, which were what he was going to do in his first few days. It was one of his shorter books. Of course, he was best known for Final Judgment. And he was also a presenter on Republic Broadcasting Network for many years. He had a show called The Piper Report. And I listened to the very first episode, and I remember him saying that John Stadtmiller had phoned him up asking him if he wanted to to do a show. And he thought he meant be a guest on the John Stadtmiller's National Intel Report. And then he suddenly cottoned on he was being offered. a show, of course, and he had a show much like this one. It ran from Monday to Friday, certainly initially when I was listening to it, for an hour. And it was one of my favourites. He was very interesting to listen to. And I first heard him on Daryl Bradford Smith's The French Connection show. He, of course, had the IamTheWitness.com website many years ago. And Daryl's now retired. And, of course, sadly, Michael passed away quite young. The other thing you talked about, the shooting.
You know why he passed away? You know why he passed away? Because he never drank his orange juice. That's the problem. Got to drink your orange juice.
Yes, absolutely. And I'll throw this one in as well, because I only heard this about a week ago. Jeff Rentz, and I'm on the Rentz Radio Network, rentzradio.com. He does a Monday show with a guy called Donald Jeffries, who now is associated with the Barnes Review and the American Free Press, which is, of course, you know, things all seem to link up in the independent media, because that's where Michael Collins Piper was from. And they were talking about different things, having a general chit-chat, which they do on their Monday show together. And it turned out that Jeff Rentz owns Stan Laurel's desk, chair and inkwell. And I don't know if you said that that's what he records his show at or anything, but he does own the desk, the chair and the inkwell. And it came about because he knew Stan Laurel's daughter, and she was wanting to get rid of a load of his stuff. And he wanted to, you know, be a custodian of it for posterity. And so he ended up getting it so that it didn't, you know, end up changing hands, being forgotten about, getting destroyed and what have you, because Stan Laurel apparently lived in the same building, same apartment for many, many years. And that was the desk and the chair that he kept for all that time. Things, you know, desks will last, but as you know, these days, chairs don't always last that long. So it just goes to show how things were so much better made back in the Stan Laurel's time, back in your father's time. What are your thoughts on the quality of anything you buy, things 100 years ago or even 50 years ago seem to be made to last, you know, not necessarily a lifetime, but several decades, whereas now you're lucky if you get a couple of years out of a lot of things. Any comments on that, Engelbert?
Well, you know, I have Herbert Hoover's ukulele, and it plays very well. It's very good. My daddy got it from Herbert Hoover, and he gave it to me. It's a little instrument, good for my little hands. So I got Herbert Hoover's ukulele. But you know something? This is true. You go to if you go to cities in the East Coast, in the Midwest, they have a lot of old houses, and those old houses, they were built to last. They really were built to last. You go places in New England, you can find houses 200 years old. I was visiting a friend, and he had a house. It was built in the 1700s. It was built. It was so old that one of the Minutemen, who started the Revolution, one of the Minutemen lived in that house in the 1770s, and it has hardwood floors, and now they had to fit it up for the internet and for electricity, things like that. But these houses, they were built to last. And then you look at what happened is in the 1950s, on Long Island, there was a project called Levittown. That's what they called it, Levittown. And they built the houses modularly, like module houses, and prefabricated. Everything was prefabricated, and they stopped using plaster and started using wallboard. And the houses were cheap, but they weren't made to last.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing, knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company, and it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks?
When pigs fly!
The new EaseOff Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The EaseOff lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive! Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the EaseOff? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my EaseOff?
Go to EaseOff.com, EazeOff.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new EZ4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. EaseOff LLC, Summersville, Missouri, 417-932-6419.
Prefabricated. Everything was prefabricated, and they stopped using plaster and started using wallboard. And the houses were cheap, but they weren't made to last. And so the phenomenon is that you're getting you get houses that were built in the 1800s that are outlasting houses that were built, say, 50 years ago and all falling apart now. You get that. But, you know, you also get it with musical instruments. You look at a Stradivarius. When did Stradivarius live? He was what, 1700s? And those violins, that's $1 million now. They made things to last. And somewhere along the line, somebody got the idea to make things not to last, so that you have to keep buying. I remember there was a TV ad. I think it was for Volvo, and on the Volvo ad for the Volvo car, they were showing a man. He said, "Well, I bought myself a Buick in 1948, and then I bought another one in 1950, and then I got another one in 1953, and I got then the Volvo guy said, "Well, I got one in 1950." And I'm still driving it. And that's that is something. There is a big difference now in things being built to last. But you know something? I think what we have in a society, it was built to last, but the society's been replaced. And the society we got now, I'm afraid it's not going to last. This is not going to last long. I think we are at end times. Are we at end times, Andy? Are these the end times?
I firmly believe that they are. And the attacks on free speech, even in America now, where you're supposed to have the First Amendment right to free speech. And there was also, I had a friend, well, still a friend, called Briser, in Ireland, who I remember meeting him. Very few people with what I do, interviewing people. There's only a handful. I can probably count them on the fingers of, you know, two hands, maybe, at a stretch. That I've actually met in person, and he's one of them. I met him along with another musician called Graham Hart in Dublin back in 2018. So it'd be coming up for 5 years. I think it was at the end of July. But he said to me then that the thing about Ireland, where he lives, is that they've got something in there, I don't know if they call it a constitution like America does, that guarantees free speech. Yet they're going about passing a law. I don't know if it's actually passed. I think it's still, you know, it's still in the proposal stage, but it's well on the way. And what they want to do is, if somebody shares a the attack on free speech, let me try and sum it up. I think it was explained to me that if you were to take a show off, say, Republic Broadcasting Network, which I wouldn't call an extreme network by any stretch of the imagination, but if you were to take that in Ireland and send it to somebody else, then that because it's anti-mainstream media, then that could be an offence that you go to jail for. And the other thing is that they're making it illegal as well to keep any material on your computer that, if you played it in public, could be regarded as hate speech. So if you were to take some of the memes that you might find on, you know, the Daily Stormer, that are in no way calling for violence or anything like that, but poke fun at people, sometimes at protected classes now, and you just had that on your computer, you didn't circulate it to anybody, then that will be an offence via which you could go to prison. So that's a law that I'm following. I know many people listening understand this, but there's a lot of things about America that the audience would think that I would know and understand. I mean, things like this is a misdemeanor, this is a felony. I know a felony is worse than a misdemeanor, but I couldn't define which one because we don't use that terminology here in the UK. But Ireland, you've got Northern Ireland and the Republic of Ireland. Now, Northern Ireland is part of the UK. So, you know, although Scotland, Northern Ireland, Wales and England sometimes have certain different laws, they come under the UK umbrella. Whereas Ireland that I'm talking about, the Republic of Ireland, is a separate country on its own. And it is that separate country that are trying to pass this law. But as we know, in the UK, we're certainly far from immune from any attacks on our free speech. We won't get into that today, but many people listening on RBN will be completely familiar with what I'm talking about. So I wanted to throw that one in. And the other thing I wanted to mention, really sort of get back to you now, because I'm really curious as to your White House experiences, Engelbert. And I'd like to know, who was your favourite president that you led the White House band for?
I have to say it was Richard Nixon. And he also played the piano. He was an excellent piano player.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Huh. homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855, the number 2, keep it today.
My name is Don Wiskin, and at 42 years old, I suffered a massive heart attack, lost 35% of my heart to damaged tissue, and was supposed to spend the rest of my life on disability. What did I do? I took Extendivite, a garlic and cayenne mix of 7 herbs which rebuilt my heart and gave me back my life. For over 17 years now, I have made this formula available to you so you don't have to suffer the same thing I did. Clean your blocked arteries and strengthen your heart and boost your natural immune system. I'm 60 years old now and I still work every day. To get your Extendivite, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Go to republicbroadcasting.org, smash that donate button, like Russian peacekeepers smashing through the Azov neo-Nazi terrorists in the Donbass.
I don't think you can explain politics without looking at Jewish power any more than you can explain physics without dealing with gravity.
9/11 was a jointly conducted covert operation that involved multiple states, the Saudis, the Israelis, and what you could call the deep state in the United States.
With anti-Semitic remarks.
yeah, you're jiggling juice, we used to say, the dancing Israelis.
So even the Republicans now are compromising, and they're pushing issues that are destructive to the white race.
They would always say, like, are we just going to talk about this stuff on the radio? Like, what are we going to do about it?
Either we force the democracy to work by actually getting the ballot access, getting the candidates, getting in office, getting our message out there to the people, or we expose just how undemocratic it is.
The Patrick and Jeremy Show, Tuesday at 9 Central and Wednesday at 1 Central.
Who was your favorite president that you led the White House band for?
I have to say it was Richard Nixon, and he also played the piano. He was an excellent piano player, and he could play. He was from California. He liked California, Here We Come. He liked a lot of these songs. And the thing is, and this is true. Richard Nixon, he was a drunk. He was an alcoholic. Richard Nixon, he was from this generation. It was like they were totally L7. If you don't know L7, Daddy-O, that means square. They were squares. And they would wake up in the morning, and they would work, and they would work hard. They would work till 5 or 6 p.m., and then they would hit the cocktails, and they would... Richard Nixon, boy, oh boy, he would be calling up people at night, like 9, 10 p.m. He'd be calling Henry Kissinger, and Henry Kissinger would be saying, "Mr. President, no, we should not start nuking Russia now." He would get belligerent sometimes, but he was funny, and he's very paranoid too. Very paranoid, but he would wake up in the morning perfectly fine. But he was a drunk, and And when he was drinking, he liked to rev up the band, and he had stop bloviating at me. He had people, he was foreign leaders coming over. He had Brezhnev coming over, and he'd be playing Russian songs, and he never had Mao Zedong come over, but he had Zhou Enlai come over, and we're playing Chinese songs. How do we can play Chinese songs? I don't know any Chinese songs. So we played Sleepy, Sleepy Chinatown for Zhou Enlai. And that was a gas, man. That was a gas. So Richard Nixon, he was fun because he was drunk. And you never knew what he was going to do. And we could change up the words. That's how I got into the parody songs, is because he was so drunk, we could change up the words. We'd have fun with Richard Nixon. So, yeah, you ask, I would say Richard Nixon, when he was the most fun president. He was a fun guy. There you go. Back to you, Andy.
Thank you, Engelbert. And I'm pleased you brought up Richard Nixon, because it made me think of a film that I saw, especially when he talked about his drinking. There was a film that started off as a play that was both in the West End and on Broadway. The actors from the play also portrayed David Frost and Richard Nixon in the film on the famous interview series. And it was Michael Sheen who played David Frost. He's a Welsh actor. And Frank Langella who played Richard Nixon. And interestingly, I'm sorry to lower the tone of the interview, but Michael Sheen was in a relationship with Sarah Silverman for quite some time, but not anymore. Go ahead.
You got to admit, Sarah Silverman, she is a very obscene person. She is a very despicable person, but she is kind of cute. I got to give credit where credit's due. She is kind of cute. So I am not going to, I'm not going to hold that against. I'm not going to hold that against a cat, because the cat's got to get his kitty somewhere.
Indeed. And the film, one thing that jumped out at me when you were just saying about Richard Nixon's drinking is in the film, there's a bit where Nixon has to be filmed in a certain way, because at that time of his life he had a problem where he had to keep wiping his mouth. I think he was sort of drooling a bit or something like that. He didn't come across as having any, you know, cognitive impairments, but it could be, you know, something like that could maybe be as a result of years of drinking. I'm not sure. And the other thing that stood out to me about that film was one of the real, you know, the memorable parts of the film, which, happened in real life. And when pressed by David Frost on being accused of lying, he said, and I'm paraphrasing, it's not a crime if the president does it. And to which David Frost said, I'm sorry. He was absolutely shocked. So it was certainly an interesting film. And for those of you out there who haven't seen it, I would recommend giving it a watch. As I say, it was many of you listening will probably remember the interviews. Engelbert, do you remember any of the interviews? Anything else you'd like to add about David Frost or Richard Nixon?
I did see the movie, and I do remember. I remember David Frost very well. David Frost was well known in the United States in the 1970s. He was very well known. I guess these interviews took place later on. Richard Nixon more or less went into hiding after he left the White House. And then he started just in the couple years before he died, he started making some pronunciations again. He started coming out a little bit in public. And, you know, it's a shame, because when you think of there is a song by Leonard Skinner called Sweet Home Alabama. And it has a line, Watergate does not bother me. Does your conscience bother you? And, you know, the thing about Watergate is nobody knows what it was about. Nobody. Watergate was a building in Washington, D.C., and the Democratic National Committee had its headquarters there. And somebody, and it wasn't Richard Nixon, somebody thought it would be a good idea to see what the Democrats were thinking. And so they hired some ex-CIA people to break in and steal some documents, and they got caught. And Richard Nixon had nothing to do with it, but because he helped cover it up or something, it got made into a big deal. What do you think of all the things that have gone on in the American government in the past 100 years or whatever, and covering up a burglary of some documents? That is some small potatoes there. Those potatoes are so small you couldn't even make French fries. You couldn't even mash them. That's how small those potatoes are. But that's what they got him on. And he resigned. And this happened after an election, the 1972 election. Richard Nixon won 49 out of 50 states. He won 49 states. It was the biggest election in terms of 49 states, the first time anybody ever won 49 states. And that happened. People knew about Watergate during the election. The Watergate was already an issue. The people voted. And I have to say, even though I thought Richard Nixon was a fun guy, I was against the Vietnam War, so I didn't vote for Richard Nixon. But in retrospect, I have a lot of sympathy for Richard Nixon, and he made mistakes. He's kind of a Donald Trump figure in a way. Donald Trump, he's just not as funny. But 49 states, he got about 60% of the vote. He won that. It was a massive, massive landslide. The people spoke, and the people knew about Watergate. They already knew about Watergate, and they voted, and they voted him in. And yet, a year and a half later, he's flying away on the helicopter, never to be seen again. And then you got Gerald Ford. Gerald Ford, I tell you one thing, he was the easiest president to be the band leader for, because he only liked one song. That was the University of Michigan fight song. That's the only song he liked. And it was easy to play it. I never want to play it again, though. I got tired of it. So Gerald R. Ford. But they got the biggest landslide ever for Richard Nixon. And what do you get out of it? You get Gerald R. Ford. So that is the our democracy in America. You dig what I'm saying, Andy?
I do indeed. It's, yeah. And I'm also reminded of... I forget where I saw this, but when Nixon was running against JFK, there was some interview they did, and I don't know if it was JFK himself or his team, but they got the heating and all that in the studio turned up, so it caused Nixon to look all sweaty and, you know, what have you, whereas Kennedy looked all youthful and, you know, good-looking and elegant, and it made him look more presidential than Nixon did. So a lot of people say that we know that there were dirty tricks that went on in that election with, you know, people that have died, you know, voting and different things like that. And there's even rumours that there was some sort of mafia involvement in the assassination. Michael Collins Piper would disagree. He would attribute it to other sources, but certainly there was mafia involvement, pretty much, you know, admitted now by the mainstream, in getting people to vote for Kennedy. And of course, as soon as he got in, it was his brother, Robert F. Kennedy, Attorney General, who was going after all these top mafia figures. And these people felt that this was, you know, this was completely out of order because they'd done them a favour getting them elected. And the other thing about John F. Kennedy is I think that he was someone who believed, right, the president runs everything. You know, so I'll do what I have to do to get in, and then I'll do what I want to do. So there's a difference between doing what you have to do to get elected to then doing what you want when you're elected. And that could have, well, been what led to his assassination. But that being said, let's... I'm quite interested. We mentioned George H.W. Bush, you know, tried to draw some comparisons about you following your father as the leader of the White House band. Fortunately, there wasn't someone like Bill Clinton in between the two of you. But essentially, we had George H.W. Bush. Many people call him a three-time president because after Ronald Reagan was that assassination attempt, he was shot, etc., early in his presidency, and you could see that he was having cognitive impairment, certainly towards the end. And then George H.W. Bush was president for one term, so he was vice president for two. Some people argue he was more than vice president because, as I said, Ronald Reagan was flagging a bit. But he was certainly president for one term, and then his son came in for two terms after Bill Clinton had two terms. So a lot of people say that George W. Bush, W, as they used to call him, was mentally retarded. What kind of music did he like, Engelbert?
What he liked, people think he liked country music, but that was all a show. He would, if the press was around, he would play country. He wanted country music. But as soon as the press was gone, he liked headbanger heavy metal. That's what he liked. He liked headbanger heavy metal because it was good when he was doing his crack cocaine. And he was mentally retarded, and he was strung out on drugs, and he was not running anything. He was not running anything. He had Dick Cheney. Dick Cheney was in there, and he had Paul Wolfowitz running the war. And no, he was a mentally retarded drug addict, alleged cannibal. So he was bad news. I was very glad to see the end of him. Unfortunately, then we had the Obama, which was Obama. I will say one thing about Obama. Obama was genuinely funky. A lot of people think he was a fake Negro. He was not a fake Negro. He was genuinely funky. You know, we used to play. There's a song by Al Green, and it's called Let's Stay Together. And Obama could come up and he could sing that thing. He sounded just like Al Green. You look on the internet, you'll find that he's singing. He sings this. You can find it on YouTube. He was funky. He was very funky. He probably used to do cocaine, and he probably used to be a homosexual, but in the White House, he was not too bad. And like I say, he was funky, and I know he wasn't born an American Negro, but he learned. He was a quick learner. He learned what he had to do, and he did what he had to do. The only problem is the people who were telling him what he had to do were very, very bad people. And that's what I say about Barack Obama. And back to you, Andy.
Thank you, Engelbert. And I'm not going to ask you about Joe Biden because he's your current employer. And I don't want you to, some of the people that that administration don't like seem to end up in jail without charge for periods of time. And I certainly wouldn't want that to happen to you. But I think as we come to the end, we've got about 5 minutes left here. I just want to say how much I like the music that you've been doing over the years. And I suppose that the question is with your commitments as the band leader at the White House, how do you juggle your commitments doing that with your own solo work, your singer-songwriting that you do yourself? Over to you, Engelbert.
Well, once again, I have to come back to orange juice. You see, orange juice, if you drink enough orange juice, it creates kind of a rip in the space-time continuum. And not only do you last for decades and decades longer than you should, but you also you get more than 24 hours in the day if you drink enough orange juice. And so that's what I do. And, you know, if you look – there is a dog in Portugal, and they've been feeding that dog orange juice, and that dog is, he's like 37 years old, and he's doing just fine. So you can look that up. You look that up in the Guinness Book of World Records. So I am doing the parody songs. And, you know, a lot of people, they don't understand these songs sometimes. Some of these are love songs. I have a song. There's a love song. It had to be you. It had to be you. And I did a parody song with that.
Einstein once said, "Future medicine will be the medicine of frequencies." What did he know? Imagine you hear ocean waves caressing a beach, or a favorite song from the past, or the trickle of the babbling brook. All of these are sound frequencies that positively affect us. Terahertz is a soothing, healing frequency that has been proven to resonate at the same frequency as healthy cells. It penetrates the body and stimulates new, healthy cell growth. Want to diminish muscle aches, joint pains, and experience a greater sense of well-being? Tired of spending money on short-term remedies that never seem to work? Soothing, healing, relaxing terahertz frequency is now available, and as handy as flipping a switch. Terahertz technology is changing the course of what we were taught about how to maintain our health and well-being. To read more about this amazing breakthrough and to order your terahertz frequency wand, go to naturalearthmedicine.com. That's naturalearthmedicine.com.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
People, they don't understand these songs sometimes. Some of these are love songs. I have a song. There's a love song. It had to be you. It had to be you. And I did a parody song with that. And dare I mention it? It had to be Jews. Wonderful Jews. We we love them so, we love them still. It had to be Jews, wonderful Jews. And that is a love song. People reading all sorts of weird things into it. That is a love song. I'm just telling the truth. I love everybody. We got to love everybody. And I don't know. Does that sound L7? Is that too square for you, Andy?
Well, I think the big question that I've got, because I think it's easier to come by in America, especially if you're somewhere like California, where they have loads of oranges, and Florida, I believe, as well. But are we talking about, say, a carton of Tropicana off the shelf, or are we talking about actual freshly squeezed orange juice?
We are talking about not just freshly squeezed orange juice. We're talking about, like, orange juice that has been clobbered with a giant hammer. You just beat the hell out of that oranges, and that juice comes out, and that juice will keep you going. It will keep you going. That's all you need.
That's excellent. And so I'm going to come to the end now. I just want to thank Engelbert so much for joining us today. And I also want to mention that, of course, I understand Patrick Slattery, well, he hasn't said, I don't know if he's got, commitments throughout the week. I presume he's going to be back with his show tomorrow. And I know that there's one that I'm going to be looking out for from the Tuesday show. So you'll be hearing this later in the week, I believe, because I'm pre-recording it, so I'm not sure when it's going to air. But I do know that... Mark Collett was on with Dr. Patrick Slattery earlier in the week, and there's some information in there that's covered an update of a trial that they covered some time ago. I've got the actual file here. I saved it. Mark Collett and Dr. Patrick Slattery, and this was on a guy called Sven Longshanks in the UK, who I don't know very well. I've spoken to him a couple of times, but he's certainly Mark Collett knows him very well. And if you want the background to the trial, you need to go to the April the 10th show of this year, so just over a month ago. And then I believe on the Tuesday show this week, which is May the 16th, go to Republic Broadcasting Archives, I believe it is, .org, and you'll be able to download that if you haven't already heard it, and be able to hear the outcome of that trial. So that being said, that brings us to the end of our time today. So Patrick will be back with you tomorrow for another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio.
People who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs. For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee.
Hemppaste.com/RBN. Free shipping on orders over $50. See the banners for hemp paste at republicbroadcasting.org and visit hemppaste.com/RBN.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.